TED Audio Collective.
Hey, you're listening to TED Talks Daily. I'm Elise Hugh. Certain outdated laws on the books in Kenya have put queer people into hiding there. But through creativity and connectivity, Kenyans have found a way to keep one another safe. In his 2022 talk from Ted Bezos Scholar Salon, LGBTQ plus advocate Okongo Kinyanjui shows us how they did it by forging strong digital communities. Hear that talk after the break.
This show is brought to you by Schwab. With Schwab investing themes, it's easy to invest in ideas you believe in, like electric vehicles, renewable energy, water sustainability, and more. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy as is or customize the stocks in a theme to fit your goals. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing. Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TED Talks. That's odoo.com/TED Talks. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Hey, I'm Stephen Johnson, host of the TED Interview Podcast. On this show, we talk to some of the world's most interesting people. On the latest episode, chess champion and political dissident Garry Kasparov talks about Putin's endgame in Ukraine and what he learned in his famous loss to an IBM computer.
It was not my first match I lost against the machine. It was the first match I lost, period. I was the first knowledge worker who had his job threatened by a computer.
Check out the TED Interview on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
One of the most evident remnants of colonialism on the African continent are laws that are used to persecute people for their sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. I want to tell you about some sections of the Penal Code from my home country, Kenya. Section 162A and C of the Penal Code say that it is a felony for any person to have carnal knowledge of any other person against the order of nature, or to permit a male person to have carnal knowledge of him or her against the order of nature, and this is punishable by 14 years imprisonment. Section 165 of the Penal Code says that it's a felony for a male person to commit any act of gross indecency with another male person, whether in public or in private, and this is punishable by 5 years imprisonment. Right now, similar laws also exist in 35 or 56 Commonwealth countries and more than 68 countries across the world. These laws inform attacks, arbitrary arrests, and degrade queer people's right to privacy. But they've done more than that. They've created a culture of reporting on your friends, your neighbors, even your own family. And just the suspicion of being queer can result in these life-threatening consequences. So as you might imagine, under these conditions, many queer people are constantly operating from a place of concern and fear about being outed. And if we're all in hiding, then how can we mobilize around issues that impede our everyday lives or share resources in times of need? How can we create a space where we can thrive? We hear a lot in the news lately about social media and online platforms as spaces where serious harm can occur. But what I want to share with you today is how social networks can be designed intentionally to build community and trust from the ground up. And if they're built correctly, then they can help counteract the fear that's been entrenched by colonial systems and culture in so many African countries. I want to share with you the ways that queer communities are using social media to protect one another and be themselves, queer and visible. When I created my first social media account and joined a queer online community, I met people who created spaces that embraced and protected everyone's ability to be their authentic self. And this was the first time that I genuinely felt safe. Just one example, blackmail is a huge problem for the queer community in Kenya. Blackmailers can make tons of money by threatening to out queer people to authorities. So one queer online community that I joined when I was younger was trying to prevent and expose known blackmailers. I realized that one of the people listed as a blackmailer was an individual I had been talking to, and this group saved me from a potentially life-threatening situation. But for a lot of other people in the group, it was already too late. They had already been scammed and harmed by someone who targeted them because they were queer. Later on in life, I met Nerima, a non-binary lesbian who's similar to me, found that in internet spaces, they could be their authentic self safely. In their hometown, men would grab, spit, take unsolicited videos of them because of how they expressed their gender in public. But online, Nerima could develop many versions of themselves. For me and Nerima, the internet was the only place where we could talk openly and support each other through some of the most difficult moments in our lives. We helped each other and people in our community find safe housing, navigate loss after being outed. We've hosted memorials and helped each other find queer affirming experts when we needed them. These virtual networks saved and sustained us. And these experiences led Nerima and me to create the Queer Africa Network, CAN, an online platform where we hope to ensure that every queer African, both on the African continent and in the diaspora, has access to the resources they need, like verified opportunities, mentorship, fundraising, and safety. Over the years, we've learned a lot about how to build a safe online community. And I want to share those learnings with you today. The first key is community vetting. Any safe online space has to find a way to keep out the bots, the trolls, and the blackmailers. And we found that the best way to do this is to implement a 3-week probation period for new members. Anyone joining the community can engage with limited features as we assess their activity and ensure that accounts haven't been reported for violating community guidelines. After the probation period, a member can submit a request to have a verified mark on their profile. This indicates to other members that this profile is safe to admit to their private groups and events. Safety is essential above all else. Once safety can be established, support is the next essential feature. We think about support very intentionally, for queer Africans' financial stability plays a huge role in determining how open we can be. And over the years, I've met queer Africans who believe that the only way they can get ahead at work is by abandoning their identities and anyone who shares those identities. That's a terrible feeling. And of course, anyone suspected of being queer might not be able to work at all. So in order to counteract this, it's important to design a space with an active opportunities hub and marketplace, one that helps people find community, connections, and mentorship in their various fields and industries. This moves them closer to financial stability, and they can trade their art and products in new ways, not just for money, but to barter as well. We're challenging the core tenets of capitalism that are rooted in individualism, capital accumulation, and competition by creating a behavior change and system-level change that prioritizes collaboration, resource sharing, and community. One of the key consequences of colonialism was erasing and replacing pre-colonial African history. And this made us lose stories of love, alternative social structures, and a myriad of language to describe our identities. More than erasing the past, it hindered the possibility of new futures. Because of this, one of the core necessary features that we found in designing a positive and thriving online social community is the ability for members to create a global archive of their diverse lived experiences, to document the stories of those who never got to tell theirs, and to collect vital statistical information from the community on where resources and support are needed. Features such as blogs, archives, and surveys give us the opportunity to document our past and articulate our future, and to share where direct resources are needed. There's an immense gap on the research on the experiences of queer Africans, which is often weaponized against us to suggest that we don't exist. If governments aren't collecting information on suicide rates and homelessness, then they can argue that if there's no data, there's no issue. Regardless of how often these laws are applied, they have contributed to the lack of information on how many queer people are barred from accessing life-saving services, spanning education, health, legal assistance programs, and more. But imagine for a moment if we could do this in a way that allows us to own our own data in a secure, encrypted, and consensual manner that is not extractive. We'd be able to know how many of us are forced out of schools by homophobia and transphobia, how many of us are grappling with blackmail, how many of us feel forced to end our lives, or how many of us seek asylum because we can't imagine ourselves living a happy, fulfilling life in our country of birth. Through our platform, members can report and record these experiences accurately. We can co-create the infrastructure to address these issues and protect each other. Now, CAN is just one of many online platforms trying to rebuild and design this new kind of queer-owned online space. And as we continue creating this space, we're standing on the shoulders of all those who've come before us. And while I don't think safe online spaces can solve all the problems that queer communities face, I do think that being able to gather safely in community collect stories, and share resources is leading to noteworthy changes. For example, most of the queer organizations operating across the African continent, especially in contexts where it's illegal to be queer, use social media to identify people in need, organize and survey their constituents in order to know what is going on. And over the past years, we're seeing waves of decriminalization of same-sex intimacy laws, and we're seeing new momentum and unprecedented levels of acceptance, though there's still a long way to go. In the last decade, we've seen these changes across Africa, Angola, Botswana, Seychelles, Mozambique, and Lesotho. We're also seeing decriminalization outside of the continent, such as in Antigua and Barbuda, which decriminalized homosexuality in July of 2022. More than keeping queer people safe, these approaches show us what a future could look like, a world where we're safe online and thriving offline. Thank you.
TED Talks Daily is hosted by me, Elise Hugh, and produced by TED. Theme music is from Allison Leighton Brown, and our mixer is Christopher Fazy Bogan. We record the talks at TED events we host or from TEDx events, which are organized independently by volunteers all over the world. And we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or email us at podcasts@TED.com.
You're growing a business, and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, no coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.